And now it's time for the Northern Storyteller. Good morning. I'm Tom Hafner. Today I'll be reading from the book The Talking Cat and Other Stories of French Canada by Natalie Savage Carlson. The Ghostly Fisherman. One summer evening in another time, some of the men of the parish were sitting in André Drouillard's yard. They had spent the day helping him to harvest his crop of hay and pile it into a big stack near his barn. So they were resting now and enjoying themselves by telling stories of fearsome and wondrous adventures they had experienced. Alba Robert told about the times that he had worked in a lumber camp on the St. Lawrence River. "It was one morning that I went off fishing by myself," he said. "I was sitting on that bank waiting for a trout to bite, when such a thing grabbed my hook that I thought I had caught a whale. I pulled and pulled and pulled, but it did no good. The thing on my line was pulling just as hard as I. It was like a tug of war. I was being dragged closer and closer to the water. So I braced myself against a rock and gave one long, terrible yank. Out flopped the biggest eel I have ever seen. The battle had just begun. I had to wrestle with that eel, and what a feat of strength it was. There was that giant eel, slippery as lard and strong as an ox. At last I got the best of him, and..." One of his listeners interrupted. "How did you do that?" asked André Drouillard. "If he was slippery as lard and strong as an ox." Albert Robert was annoyed at this interruption. It is not polite to break into a man's story at the most exciting part. "I talked to him," said Alba. "That was the weapon I had over him. I could talk, and he couldn't." "What did you say to him?" persisted André. Alba glared. "I said to him, 'Little brother, why do you struggle with me? I want to put you in a pot where you will be warm and cozy. You will never have to go on another long trip to the sea.' And that is just what I did, my friend. I put him in a pot on the cook stove, and by my faith, it took 5 men to hold the lid on when that eel found out why he wouldn't have to go on any more long trips." André Drouillard had yet another question. "Just how big was that eel?" he asked. 15 feet long," stated Alba. André blew out a puff of smoke from his pipe. "Puff!" he exclaimed. "There is no such thing as a 15-foot eel." Everyone gasped, and there was a long silence. It is not polite to question a man's story. It makes the feeling that you think he is a liar. "Now, right here in the parish, I had quite an adventure last week," boasted André. All eyes turned to the newest storyteller. Albert Robert and his 15-foot eel were forgotten. "Yes, indeed," said André. "With my own eyes, I saw the ghostly fisherman. And with my own ears, I heard one of them crying his orders from the bow." Everyone leaned forward to hear more, because everyone knew about the ghostly fishermen. There could be no question of the truth here. They were three men who had gone fishing one Sunday morning instead of to church. As punishment, they and their boat had been changed into ghostly forms, doomed to sail through the heavens for all eternity.
I heard him just as plain as you can hear me, continued Andre. To the oars, to the oars. Those were his words. And the boat sailed so low from my head that I could have touched it if it had been a real boat.
Alba Robert looked at Andre Drouillard sullenly.
I don't believe you saw the ghostly fisherman, he said rudely. It was probably a low-hanging cloud, and the voice you heard was the cry of some water bird.
It was Andre's turn to be insulted. His face grew purple as he spluttered.
You don't believe me? Well, you just go fishing in the river next Sunday and see what you see.
Halibut sniffed.
I will do just that thing, he promised. What is more, I won't go to church either. Perhaps the ghostly fisherman will give me a ride.
Everyone was horrified. They all begged him to give up such a daring, evil plan.
Let him go, said Andre. Let him learn that there is one straight tongue in this group.
So despite the protests and entreaties of the others, Alba Robert set off to the river the next Sunday morning. He carried his fishing pole over his shoulder in a most determined way. He really hoped that by some strange chance, he might actually catch a 15-foot eel on his hook. Of course, he had never really seen a 15-foot eel. He had only wanted to make his story more interesting. But that did not mean that 15-foot eels did not exist. He found a grassy place on the riverbank, baited his hook, then waited for something out of the ordinary to happen. But only the most ordinary things happened to him for a while. The fish didn't bite, and his worm kept falling off the hook. Alba was disgusted. If he couldn't even catch a minnow, he wouldn't be likely to catch a 15-foot eel. He had completely forgotten about the ghostly fishermen. He didn't give them a thought until a high, eerie cry floated up from the bend in the river.
A bird, grunted Alba. It is as I thought. Andre Drouillard is a liar.
A white, filmy object slowly came around the bend. It was high in the air above the tallest trees.
Just as I thought, said Alba. A cloud. That is what Andre Drouillard saw.
The cloud floated toward him. The cry that came to his ears was clear.
To the oars, it quavered. To the oars.
Alba stuck his finger in his ear and wriggled it.
That bird sounded just like somebody saying, to the oars,
he puzzled.
Little wonder Andre was fooled.
Nearer and nearer came the thing Alba called a cloud. Then the fisherman's eyes bulged like a frog, and he dropped his pole into the water. He tried to run, but his legs would not move. The approaching image was clearly that of a boat. As it came closer, he could plainly see the three ghostly figures in it.
To the oars! To the oars!
The boat was right over him now. It did not slow down one bit, but a great boat hook was lowered over the side by one of the ghosts. It snagged into Alba's blouse and lifted him and his scared legs right up into the air. Up, up over the treetops and over the side of the boat went Alba Robert. Without a word,
One of the figures pushed him into a seat and handed him an extra oar.
"To the oars! To the oars!" cried the coxswain of the ghostly crew.
If Alba had been frightened on the bank, he was almost mad with fear now. For as he looked down to his oar handle, his glance went right down through the bottom of the transparent boat to the bushy tops of the tallest trees. Like one bewitched, he slowly moved the oar back and forth. Considering that it was transparent, too, it seemed unusually heavy. The three ghostly figures paid no more attention to him. They stared into space, doubtless into eternity. For a while, Alba didn't dare open his mouth for fear that his heart would jump out of it. When he was sure that it had settled down to pounding on his ribs, he began to think. When he was able to do this clearly, he tried to plan some means of escape. If only the boat weren't so high in the sky, he might be able to jump overboard.
"Aren't we too high up to catch any fish?" he asked the ghost nearest him. "If we went lower, we might drop some lines into the river."
The man laughed with a hollow, mocking sound.
"We aren't fishing for fish," he answered. "We are fishing for lost souls."
Alba almost swallowed his tongue. He turned this idea over in his mind for a while.
"If that's what you're fishing for," he finally said, "I know just the one for you. If there is one lost soul, it is André Grouillard. If you will steer to starboard and leave the river, you will sail directly over his farm. And he must be in the yard right now, because he never goes to church."
"To the oars! To the oars! To starboard! To starboard!" echoed the hollow voice of the coxswain.
The ghostly boat with the three ghostly fishermen and the fourth man, whose face was white enough to be that of a ghost, turned from the river and set off on a new course. Looking through the bottom of the boat, Alba could see the spire of the church pass underneath them. Then the winding dirt road unraveled below. There was Tante Odette's house, with its two dormer windows and her outdoor oven. My faith, Jean Labadie needed some new shingles on his roof. At last, André Grouillard's neat farm drifted towards them. And most wonderful of all, there was André's big, fluffy haystack.
"A little lower," Alba ordered the fisherman. "A little lower if we are to hook this lost soul down in the yard."
The boat made a long glide toward the yard of André Grouillard. The hay pile was almost directly underneath. Alba dropped his oar, leaped over the side of the boat, and went catapulting through the air. Over and over, around and around, he spun like a hawk shot on the wing. Flop, flop, he went right into the top of the haystack. He bounced up and down 5 times. Then he dug down into the hay like a frightened badger. He could hear the voice of the ghostly fisherman fading into the west.
"To the oars!" lingered the mournful cry. "To the oars!"
exclaimed Alba. "Put somebody else at my oar!"
He stood up and brushed the hay out of his hair. He dragged himself toward the edge of the stack. It was at this point that André Grouillard came running up with his pitchfork.
"Alba Robert," he shouted, "what do you mean stamping around on my horse's food? How would you like it if my horses jumped up on your table and tramped down in your soup and salad?"
Alba slid off the haystack.
"André," he cried, "an unbelievable thing has happened to me. I have just had a ride with the ghostly fisherman. The only way I could escape was by jumping down on your haystack."
"Yes,
It is an unbelievable thing, scoffed Andre. All of your stories are unbelievable. No matter how well Alba explained, Andre would not believe his story, nor would anyone else. He once said he caught an eel 15 feet long, they would remember, and then they would shake their heads. And as if this was not bad enough, they began spreading the story that Alba Robert had made up this tale because he had been caught trying to pilfer some of Andre Drouillard's hay. So I warn you, my friends, never tell a story about catching a 15-foot eel, or people will not believe you if you go sailing with the ghostly fishermen. You've been listening to a story from the book The Talking Cat and Other Stories of French Canada by Natalie Savage Carlson, published by Harper and Brothers. Northern Storyteller is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks. Our program is coordinated by Ron Inouye. The executive producer is Carla Tonella. And I'm Tom Hassler. The people.